that good music. Let's go to Psalm 119 this morning, Psalm 119. Are you hearing okay out there this morning? I don't know if I've got my stuffed up ears or it doesn't sound right to me, but if it's okay to you, that's what matters. If you're hearing all right, are you comfortable temperature-wise this morning? It was a chilly day, wasn't it? Poor Mr. Al Gore. He's holed up somewhere, amen. Global cooling has enveloped the whole world. My parents are freezing down in Florida, 20-degree weather down there. Unbelievable. So it was. I think this was the coldest morning we've had all winter this morning. So, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to read one verse out of Psalm 119. And you get 176 guesses as to which one, all right? So, 140. We're going to read one verse, and we're going to be in this chapter today. And don't worry, don't panic. We're not going to do the whole thing, okay? But Psalm 119, verse 140. And the psalmist wrote these words, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." I'm talking about fellowship here this month. Talked about fellowship last week collectively when we come to hear the Word of God on Sundays. And here the Bible says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." He's talking about his attitude toward the Bible, toward God's Word. Let's pray about it this morning and ask the Lord's blessing on all that we do now. Dear Father, help me, I pray. And Lord, my thoughts have kind of been in a whirlwind since I got off the phone this morning with Brother Brown. I want to be settled here for the church and settled on the message you've given me. And Lord, these thoughts burned in my heart 4 months ago. And now I get to preach them to our folks. And pray that you'll please give us liberty in this service. And Lord, may our hearts be open to receive what you have for us today. May the Holy Spirit have access to our wills and our choices, our decisions. And God, may we experience that liberty that only the Holy Spirit brings to a service. And I'll thank you for it. Bless the music we're about to listen to. May it warm our hearts for the message. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you, BC.
God.
you. Well, Caleb, that was a blessing. And Emily, thank you for that good song this morning. That's a great thing to decide at the beginning of a new year. And everybody can do that. Everybody can. Life is not what you want it to be. Life is what you choose it to be. And if you're trying to get back in the groove at the beginning of a new year, you can do it. It won't happen just because you want it to. It happens because you make the right choices. And that's a good song for us this morning. All right. I'm going to speak to you on the subject of our personal fellowship with the Bible. Our personal fellowship with the Bible. Last Sunday morning we talked about the fundamental element of fellowship when it comes to the collective gathering of God's people at a church. So let me talk to you this morning about our personal fellowship, pardon me, with the Bible. Dear Father, I pray that song will not just be a song we heard, but I pray it will be a decision we live by. Help us to make a choice to honor You. We'll do that in the next few minutes. We can sit and daydream, think about what's waiting for us at home or what we worried about yesterday. Or we could put aside those thoughts and concentrate on Your Word. Let Your Spirit have access to our hearts. We can choose to honor You this afternoon. We can choose to honor You tonight by being back in our places, so forth and so on. Help us to live what we just heard. Bless this message to our hearts, and I'll thank You for it. Need Your help, dear God. In Jesus' name I pray and ask You. And amen. Last Sunday morning, we saw from the book of Acts, chapter 2, the importance of the fundamental element of fellowship. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The fellowship that Acts chapter 2 speaks of is the fellowship that believers have with each other through the teaching and preaching of revealed truth. We experienced that fellowship last Sunday morning in this building. We experienced it again on Sunday night as we observed the Lord's table. Man, did the Lord come and meet with us last Sunday night. And the fellowship we had as a church together through the preaching and teaching of God's Word last Sunday night. We had great fellowship Wednesday night as we studied the book of Obadiah. And that's what Acts chapter 2 speaks of, the fellowship we have together in the preaching and teaching of revealed truth, God's Word. It builds us, it grows us, it strengthens us, it challenges us, it encourages us. It is vitally important. Now, Psalms 119 speaks of another kind of fellowship. This fellowship still centers around revealed truth. It still centers around the Word of God. In fact, God's Word is the main and predominant subject of this whole psalm. Psalm 119 is an interesting, quite a chapter in our Bible. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses. And I didn't take the time to count. But if I remember correctly, I think all but one or two, maybe three or four of the verses out of 176, all but one or two of them, there is a direct reference to the Word of God in every verse, but maybe two or three or four out of 176. Sometimes it's the word law. That's in verse number one. That's the word that's used in Psalm 119, 100. I'm sorry, the word is used in Psalm 119, 140. Thy word is very pure. Sometimes it's word. Sometimes it's law. Sometimes it's commandment. Sometimes it's precepts. Sometimes it's statutes. But it's always, out of 176 verses, like 173 of them, have a direct reference to the Word of God. It's a very structured psalm. It is divided up into 22 sections of 8 verses each. So you got 8 verses, first section, then you got another section, 8 verses. Then you got another section, 8 verses, all the way through 176 verses like that. 22 sections of 8 verses. Verses. Every section corresponds with a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And it starts with the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and it goes all the way through all 22 characters of the Hebrew alphabet to the very last character. So the largest, most structured chapter in our whole Bible is about God's Word. I don't think that's any accident, do you? I don't think that's by coincidence. That the largest chapter and the most structured chapter in all the Bible, the predominant subject, the main theme throughout the whole thing, in almost every verse, there is a reference to the Word of God. Now listen, where Acts chapter 2 is about the collective fellowship of an assembly of believers with the Word of God. And that's what Acts 2 is about. Acts chapter 2 is about those 3,120 people, born again, baptized believers, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's about a collective fellowship that goes on when the assembly of born again believers comes together. That's what Acts 2 is about. Psalms 119 is about personal fellowship with the Word of God. All throughout this psalm, you'll find personal pronouns used over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Even in verse 140, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." A personal reference to the man who put these words on paper. They think probably it was David, although it is not attributed to David. They think that David probably was the one who put it on paper. Whoever put it on paper, this is a personal testimony about the fellowship they had personally with the Word of God. Collective fellowship with the Word of God. That's what we're having right now. Personal fellowship in the Word of God. Both of those things are linked together. They're linked together. I truly believe the best way to maintain personal fellowship in the Word of God is to be faithful to the collective fellowship of the Word of God. I believe church will challenge you to stay in your Bible. I also believe the best way to maintain collective fellowship in the Word of God is to be faithful to personal fellowship in the Word of God. I believe if you and I are personally in touch with our Bibles, it'll put us in church. I believe that. I believe they're inextricably linked together. Reading the Bible will help keep you in church. Being in church will help you keep reading the Bible. They are linked together. 30 years now, going on 30 years in a few months of working with people in the ministry. And the testimonies of people who have strayed from God could be divided into two sides. Here's the first side. "Pastor, I quit reading my Bible, and pretty soon I got out of church." Here's the other side. "I quit going to church, and pretty soon after that, I quit reading my Bible." Now, when you get to the bottom line, people who stray from God usually stray from the Bible, and people who stray from God usually stray from church. I'm telling you, the two are inextricably linked together. The collective fellowship that we're having around the Word of God this morning is vitally important, but the personal fellowship that you and I hopefully had, hopefully in my life and your life, in the past 6-7 days since we last met on Sunday, I hope you've had some personal fellowship with the Bible. Personal fellowship with the Bible. Okay? I'm glad you're here for the collective fellowship around the Word of God this morning, but friend, that's not enough. You must involve yourself in a personal fellowship with the Word of God. Now, we're 10 days into a new year. 10 days. And I hope you have a structured system of reading God's Word personally. And that's what this whole psalm is about. It's about this psalmist's personal relationship with the Word of God to the point where he could say, "Thy servant loveth it." I love it. That's personal fellowship with the Word of God. Now, there's no way to completely cover all that is said in this chapter about a personal relationship with God's Word. But I'm going to highlight a few verses for us this morning, and we'll knock off at the right time. This psalm is a whole lot like Proverbs in that almost every verse stands by itself. Almost every verse stands by itself. It doesn't have to be interpreted with the preceding or succeeding verses. It can stand alone all by itself. That's the way the Proverbs are, and that's the way most of these Psalms are in Psalm 119. So let's look at 3 or 4 of them this morning, as much time as we have, and then we'll go home. Look at verse number 18. So we're in Psalm 119, and look at verse number 18. We're talking about our personal fellowship with the Bible, with the Word of God. Psalm 119, look at verse number 18. The psalmist said here, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You know that I love that verse, friend. There are wondrous things in this book. Wondrous, by the way. As cold as it was this morning, wasn't it beautiful out there? My. Now, it's cold. But my goodness, man, I looked out the window and I thought, of course, I got up before daylight. And then when it started getting daylight, I kept looking out there. I said to my wife, when she came down, I said, is that fog? What is it out there? And there was so much humidity in the air this morning, it gathered on the bushes and the trees and the plants and froze. It was beautiful. Brother, that's saying something for a Georgia boy to talk about this being beautiful. This beautiful. Didn't you just kind of, wow. Maybe you said, no, I went all the way to church. I'm just driving to church. I told Cherith, I said, look. Look at these bushes. Look at it. And we enjoyed that together. It was wondrous. There's a lot of things about God's creation that are wondrous. I've had privilege, blessed by God, to be able to visit some places on this globe where you just, your jaw drops. Because it's wondrous. And who will forget going to France to see Ben and Ashley, and the day we drove through the French Alps to the Italian Alps, and just to spend some time sightseeing and up in those little windy, narrow roads up those Alps. And I mean, they were beautiful. We turned around this bend, and here was this lake, this spring-fed, snow-melt-fed lake nestled in a little low place there. And it was absolutely, it was wondrous. Wondrous. There are those type things in this book. There are wondrous things. That's what the psalmist said. He said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Things that cause us to wonder. Things that are wonderful. You ever seen something that just made you wonder? I don't mean wonder in doubt or question, but wonder in awe. In 2007, 3 years ago, my folks moved from Atlanta to Florida, and then in June, we were able to go down and visit them and see them in their new place and in their retirement community, and took a walk around their place, you know, and here with all these mailboxes. And in that retirement community, on the mailbox, they have the name and they have where those folks are from. And so, you know, ours said Angel, Georgia, but then it was Boston, it was Massachusetts, New York, all these snowbirds living down there. And we got to go down and visit them and enjoyed that. And while we were there, Joyce and I and some of the kids traveled down to South Florida, to Jupiter, to be with Brother Blaylock, our good friend down there. Brother Jim Blaylock was in school with, roomed with, just close through all these years. And he said, man, you're going to be 2 hours away. Come preach for me and let's fellowship and have a good time. So I did. Went down there. And we left my folks' house on a Friday afternoon, and we went across Florida going east toward the Atlantic Ocean. And then we hit, the Florida Turnpike, I believe it was, and they were going south toward Jupiter, Florida. And my phone rang, and it was my brother, and he said, Terry, where are you? And I said, we're headed east toward the Florida Turnpike. And he said, man, he said, you are in the most perfect location to watch the shuttle Atlantis lift off. He said, watch for it. You'll be able to see it. He said, it's on the radio somewhere. And so we turned the radio on and we found the station where they were, you know, Houston and NASA and all that stuff. So interesting. And heard the T-minus 10 and 9, 8. And, you know, we're looking out the windows and here it is on the radio. We have lift off. And I said, do you see it? I'm trying to drive and look. And finally, by this time, we had turned and were headed south on the turnpike. And so Luke and the kids were looking east toward the Atlantic. And Luke's, there it is, through the trees, there it is. And sure enough, we were able to see that thing. And I mean, we were like 80 miles away from it, and you could see it clear as day. And I'm telling you, you think watching a jet airplane is fast. It was unbelievable. I just looked at it. One of those times where I don't know how I got from where I was on the road to where, when I finally got my eyes. You ever been there? You know, whoa, I just drove how far without even looking at the road. And I'm looking out there and I'm seeing that thing. You know, I mean, honestly, it was absolutely wondrous. And 6 times I went with my wife into a delivery room or a birthing room. I mean, boy, now they got that thing fixed up where, hey, you know, invite your grandparents in, invite everybody in, here have a pizza, and here we go, we're going to have a bed there, you know, and it's unbelievable. I understand. I mean, the stainless steel bright light delivery room days are over, brother, and I guess they're okay. But 6 times I went into that room, 6 times I watched as my wife gave birth to 6 different children. And I don't care if it was number 1 or number 6. every time when that little thing came into this world. It was wondrous. Are you with me? Understand what I'm talking about? Just one of those things that just takes your breath. Leaves you just speechless, just kind of. And the Bible, the servant of God, the writer of the book here, there are many things in the Bible that will cause us to wonder. They're wonderful things. They're wondrous things. They leave us greatly wondering. And the psalmist prayed as he began to read the Bible and he asked God, he said, "Oh God, would you open mine eyes that I could see some of those wondrous things that are in your book this morning?" Have you seen anything wondrous lately? I don't see something wondrous every time I read the Bible, but that's not God's fault. That's my wicked, old, cruel, cold heart. That's what it is. Sometimes, though, man, plugged in and right, and I mean anxious and looking, and boy, sometimes you can just come across some things that just, whoa. And it's amazing to me how you can read the same story for the 100th time, and you leave going, man, I read that story 100 times. I've never seen it. The other day, old Queen Vashti over there, when Ahasuerus wanted her to come out and that drunken party and show herself to him and his buddies, and she wouldn't do it, and she wouldn't be immodest. And they came and said, you know, take away the queen, her crown, that she's no longer queen, and give her royal estate to another. There's some things that are more precious than money and gold and silver. She lost all of that, but bless God, she kept her integrity and she kept her honor and she kept her modesty and she kept all of that. Huh? Absolutely. I read that thing how many times? I never saw it. Isn't the Bible like that? You can read it this week and you can read the same story next week and the same story next month and something just jumps out at you. Let me ask you a question this morning. How long has it been since God showed you some of those wonderful things in His Word? You say, well, it's been a long time, Brother Angel. Well, let me ask you this question. How long has it been since you asked Him to? That's what the psalmist did. He's done wondrous things in here. Wonderful things in this book. Deep things, precious things that bless you and encourage you. Lord, show me. Have you ever traveled somewhere with somebody and somebody in the car, maybe in a new place, geographically speaking, and somebody in the car says, man, look at that. Look, maybe it's wildlife or maybe it's a tree or it's something, you know. Look, maybe it's through the woods or something. Look, do you see it? Can you see it? Boy, they want you to see it so badly. And you can't see it. Sometimes they'll line their arm up with you. They'll line their finger up with your eyes to try to point you to it. You know what I'm talking about? You know, see it. Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see it? I'll tell you what, tomorrow morning when you want to have some fellowship with this book right here, when you get it open tomorrow morning, why don't you ask the Holy Ghost, take His finger and put His finger. Show me some of those wonderful things that are in this book right here. The psalmist, he prayed and he said, God, would you please take your finger and align it with my eyes and point my eyes to your word and help me to see something wonderful, something wondrous from the Bible. Would you help me to do it, Jeff? He said, well, how many things could we talk about this morning? I mean, do you ever get just carried away with when you're reading in the Bible about God's love? I get over in 1 John chapter 3, and every time I come to that verse, and every time I stop there, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Stop, behold it, wonder at it. It's a wonderful thing that God would love us. I like that song that's in our songbook. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Just to think that God loves me. Huh? Yeah. That's why I need personal fellowship with this book, because there's wonderful things in here. There's wondrous things. Things that I wonder at. Things that,
man, bless me and help me and motivate me and encourage me. It's a wondrous book. So, friend, we need fellowship with it, with this book because of that. Let me show you a couple other verses. Go number two. Let's go to verses 9 and 11. You're real close on the page there. Verses 9 and 11. Look what the Bible says here. These are familiar verses to you. Probably memorized them, some of you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word. Look at verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now look, it is obvious from these verses that my relationship with God's word goes a long way in helping me to live a clean life. A long way. God's word will help me not to sin against Him, and it will help me to get cleansed. If I do and when I do. God's word in my heart will help me not to sin against Him. Wait. Help me not to sin against Him. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's personal. Say, boy, being the pastor of a church, you got to really, you know, work and pray to keep that thing clean. I'll tell you something, friend. Take a bigger job than keeping this church clean, keeping my heart clean. I'm my own worst enemy. There's nobody that gives me more trouble than Terry Angel's old nature does. Absolutely, and that's true about you too. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Everybody's way has potholes that are peculiar to us. Everybody has their own distinct weaknesses. My weakness may not be your weakness. Your weakness may not be mine. Mine may not be his. His may not be Brother Bragg's. Everybody has their own peculiar weaknesses, their own distinct weaknesses. Everybody has their own personal areas where they are susceptible to temptation. And the promise is that God's Word will help me keep my way clean before God. That's true about you too. God's Word will help you keep your way clean. God's Word is always relevant. It will always address our distinct problems, our distinct shortcomings. One of the reasons I need to have personal fellowship with this book, it will help me keep my way clean. I'm a firm believer, friend, that you can't live in ongoing, perpetual sin if you are reading this Bible. I mean honestly and sincerely reading it on a daily basis. There's no way you can live in ongoing sin. No way. You can't go out, and we talked this morning about in our Sunday school class about adultery. You can't go out and live in adultery and be a student of this book. This book will keep you from it. Proverbs 6 said that. The commandment will keep you from the strange woman. You can't run out and just slob down the alcoholic beverages and be a student of this book. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're either going to quit that and read the Bible, or you're going to close your Bible and keep up with that. Because the Bible keeps us clean. The Bible helps me keep my way clean. And the Bible, it's an amazing book. What an amazing book. Look, we could not all go to the doctor. You can't go to the doctor and get a universal antibiotic that'll clean up any and every kind of infection or sickness. Can't do that. I'm sick. What's wrong? I got a cold. Well, get this medicine. I'm sick. I got an infected toenail. Well, get this medicine. No. You go to the doctor, and the doctor makes a diagnosis, and then the doctor prescribes an antibiotic based on that diagnosis, that on a person-to-person basis. And you have to, everybody who's sick has to go to a doctor and be individually checked up, and then they're prescribed an antibiotic to help that particular sickness. But friend, all of us who are born-again people of God can read the same book. And this same book will address our specific weaknesses, our specific shortcomings, help us to get it fixed, make it right, and keep our way clean. That's why I need fellowship with that book. Now, my way is specific to me, and your way is specific to you, and the things that are a temptation and a pothole in my way are not a temptation and a pothole in your way, and vice versa. But we all have the same great physician. You got any fellowship with the book to help keep you clean? The book will help keep us clean. The psalmist said, man, I get into the Bible and I ask God to show me those wonderful things that are in this book. And the psalmist said, I get into the Bible and the Word of God helps keep me clean, my way clean. It's an old saying. Some of you have it written in the front of your book. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. That's more than just a nice little saying. That's reality. That's reality. That's reality. All right, let's look at another scripture here. We're running out of time. Look at Psalm 119, 130. I need the fellowship of God's Word to see the wondrous, because there's wondrous things in it that bless me and help me. I need the fellowship of God's Word because it keeps me clean. Look at Psalms 119. Look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. We've talked about this verse before. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You know, one of the difficulties of living inside the Arctic Circle. Now, if you're born there, if you're indigenous there, born and reared there, maybe not so bad. But if you're born down here in the lower 48 somewhere else, and you move with inside the Arctic, you live inside the Arctic Circle, one of the things that is difficult to deal with inside the Arctic Circle is the time periods when there's 24 hours of darkness. You check missionaries. Very difficult for missionaries to go there for 20 and 30 and 40 years inside the Arctic Circle. Because of those days and weeks when there's 24 hours of darkness. Now, I visited there when there was 24 hours of light. And that was odd. 3 o'clock in the morning, it looked like 5 o'clock in the morning. 1 o'clock at night, it looked like 5 o'clock in the morning. Night never came. Those Eskimo Indian kiddos played ball all night long. It's a kid's dream. Be home by dark. It ain't ever dark. Never dark. I'm trying to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning out to basketball bound. Out there playing. But the sun's not up, but it's not night. It's dusk. It's dawn. Around the clock. But then those weeks come when it never dawns. And it's just dark. Hour after hour after hour after hour, day after day after day, there is something about dark, something about night that can be very depressing. Usually people are encouraged by light, and light allows us to see. And God's Word gives light. It gives light. But I don't want you to miss the key word in verse number 130. It doesn't say thy words give light. The entrance of thy words. In other words, it's got to get in us. Got to get in us. You know, this has happened. Was it on a Wednesday night one time? The power went out, and we had battery lights. Got these battery lights, but you know they only last so long. And you know, there's no natural light in this room except for what comes through that little curtain over there. So if it's night and it's dark outside and the whole neighborhood loses power, so there's cloud cover, there's a storm, so there's no moon, there's no stars, there's no artificial light, there's no street lights, there's no bug lamps, there's nothing. And in this building, it is completely dark. And I'm up in the pulpit and I say, okay, folks, and there's no battery lights, they're gone. And so it's completely dark in here. And I say, okay, folks, don't panic. Stay calm. Everything's going to be all right. I've got a flashlight, and this flashlight's going to help us. We're not in the dark. I've got a flashlight here. If I rambled on for 5 minutes about this flashlight, this wonderful, somebody from the congregation would say, turn it on! Might even add an adjective like dummy or something like that. I don't know. Turn it on! Turn it on. What good is a flashlight if it's not turned on in the dark? And I want to tell you something. This is a wonderful book of light which gives us guidance and direction. But friend, it doesn't do a whole lot of good if it sits day after day on your coffee table or your end table or on a bookshelf or on the back seat of your car. Or the, what do you call that thing back there? You know what I'm talking about. The back dash. Volkswagens, it used to be the rumble seat. I mean, we got all the light we'll ever need to see, to make decisions, to have guidance, to encourage us. But if it never is turned on, you say, how do I turn it on? You open it up and you begin to read, and the entrance of thy words. Told you before, friend, I've hit those walls in my life where I didn't know what to do. Certain situations, personal, church-wide, family, financial. Praying, Lord, please give me wisdom. Lord, please give me help. God, please sit down of a morning just to read, just nothing's not even on my mind. Just sit down to read the Bible with the good old cup of community coffee. No sugar, a little cream. Amen. And just sip and read and sip and read. And just while I'm reading, all of a sudden, bang. Sure. Well, there's the Bible principle. Now I know what to do. It's like somebody turned the light on. So I need fellowship with this book for light. I need fellowship with this book because of the wonderful things that are in here that will bless me and encourage me. I need fellowship with this book because it will help me keep my way clean. I need fellowship with this book because it gives me direction and light, helps me to see. And then let me finish with 162. Look at verse 162. Look at it there. It says, boy, this is convicting. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Oh, man. Have you ever found anything that was of great value? That's what spoil is. Spoil is a Bible word used for treasure. Spoil is a Bible word used for valuables. The little saying, to the victor goes the spoils. That's what spoil is. The fellow, the wrestler that wins the tournament, he takes home the trophy. That's the spoil. The Bible is great spoil. It is great treasure, great valuable. Did you ever find anything that I told you before about the time my wife's diamond fell out of her engagement ring. We had that blue shag carpet. And I'm down on my hands and knees in that blue shag carpet. Is that where it was, babe? Looking through that blue shag carpet and I found it. Oh, man. I was excited. I remember with Brother Keith Harrison, when he was here as assistant pastor, we went down to Riverside Hospital together to make a visit on somebody. And we were walking in, and I just happened to be walking in side by side with Brother Keith, looked down at the sidewalk, and here's a $10 bill. You can't believe how excited I was, that dumb $10 bill. I said, look at that. And I picked it up, and I looked around, there's nobody around, you know, so I mean, I wasn't going to take it in and ask the crook behind the desk if anybody lost a $10 bill. Sure. I looked around. I would ask if I saw somebody. I didn't see anybody. I said, look, brother, here's look, man. I reached in my pocket. I got a $5 bill out. I gave him the five. I put the ten in my pocket. He said, what's this for? I said, well, you're with me. He said, I'm going to share with you. He said, you don't have to share with me. I said, sure, I'm going to share with you. You're with me. Here's a $5. You couldn't believe how excited I was. I was like a kid. I'm like a kid finding the candy stuff. I found a $10 bill. My friend, you know the honest truth. Have you ever found anything valuable? I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I found something valuable. I've got something precious. I've got a treasure. I've got a rare, precious treasure in my possession. I rejoice at God's word like a kid that found all the candy he could eat. Like a destitute person that came upon a stack of $100 bills. I've got a Bible. I've got a book. I've got God's word. I can read it. I rejoice at great spoil. I know people say, well, that's a little overboard. Well, maybe not. I think this book is far more valuable than a $10 bill. That's your question. If you left home every morning, if you left home one morning and laying at the edge of the street there, where your driveway hits the road, the street, that you saw a stack, you know, wrapped up like they just came from the bank. What is that? What is it, about 50? Is there 50 bills in one of those stacks? I think there's 50 bills in one of those stacks. Say there was a stack of $100 bills laying there with that little brown wrapper still on there. How many days did you just pick it, just drove by it? Next day it's still there. You drive by it again? Third day? No, no. Tell me, you wouldn't look for it when you came home that night? We wouldn't drive by it the first time. Wow! Much less drive by it for a week. Well, if it's there next Sunday, I'll pick it up. Uh-oh, Brother Angel, now you're meddling. Next Sunday, I'll pick it up. Next Sunday, I'll take my Bible to church. It stays all week long. You pick it up next Sunday. Brush the crumbs, the dust, all we've got. You walk by, lived with something that was more valuable than a stack of $50 crisp $100 bills. Friend, we treat that book with such disrespect, it's wrong. The psalmist said, man, I rejoice at this book. Like a kid that walked into a candy store with no mom and dad around. Like a homeless man that walked upon $1,000. Like somebody who found the Hope Diamond laying in their front yard. He said, I rejoice as one that findeth great spoil. You know what I get when I read Psalm 119? This old boy had fellowship with this book. And not just with the book, with the one who wrote it. Now, we're here this morning, we're having collective fellowship around the Word of God. I'm having a good time this morning. This is not hard for me, and this is great. This is the gravy part of pastoring. I'm serious. I was excited to get here this morning and share these things with you from the Word of God. We're having good collective fellowship around the Word of God this morning. I've seen people nod their heads. I've seen ladies smiling. I've heard you men say amen. I've even seen teenagers paying attention. Amen. Sure. Good fellowship around the book. It's been good, hadn't it? It's been rich, huh? I didn't come preach at you. I came to share with you. Not evangelical stuff. I'm going to share with you this morning. It's a good book. But now, wait a minute. The fellowship that I need to have tomorrow morning is just as vital as the fellowship I have with you this morning. And you need to have it tomorrow morning and Tuesday. And we're 10 days into this new year. And I would suggest before the 11th day dawns, if you don't have some kind of structured way to be in this book, why don't you give God, why don't you honor God and make a decision that you're going to have personal fellowship with that book right there. Now, can I tell you, you won't hit 100% of every, you won't hit every day. But you won't hit every day. So you hit 5 or 6 days and you miss one. Well, I'm no good, I can't. No, no, no. You just don't miss two. And you go for a couple of weeks and you miss, or 3 weeks or four, and you miss another one, but you don't miss two in a row. You make a decision, a conscious choice to honor God and have personal fellowship with that book. All right, time to pray. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening.